Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy, and Curse Code and Crown, as well as 3 event podcasts with miniseries releases scheduled at random intervals: Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pod. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, initiates, to the Mythos Mysteries, a live-play Pulp Cthulhu podcast where improvisers and comedians venture into dangers beyond their wildest imaginings. I am H.P. Helmfirth, your host on this journey into darkness. The Mystery Punchers are rapidly losing their fight with the King in Yellow. Red is fatally wounded and barely fought her way free of the monster's tentacles. Adrian finally shot it with his ray gun before the weapon overloaded, and Richter tried to throw the exploding ray gun at the tentacle creature, but accidentally hurled it straight upwards. So venture forth with us, dear friends, into the mythos.
Red, nobody told you that hell would be cold. And yet, you feel a full body chill. And in a way, it's comforting because everything has been so completely fucked up that really, if you woke up in like fire and brimstone, it would actually kind of be a real like kick in the teeth at this point. Because like, there's been enough wacky bullshit. But at least you won't have to deal with it anymore. At which point you hear your old pal, Robert Walker, Bobby Walkie, say, Hey, guys, I think she's coming too. And as you kind of blink your eyes, you realize you're in the back of an ice cream truck. Richter, Adrian, and Red, you find yourselves in the back of Bobby Walkie's ice cream truck. Richter and Adrian, you both remember the flash. You both remember intense heat. And you both, unfortunately, distinctly remember the smell of roasting flesh as the minor nuclear event that occurred above you, Rostul. You both have very bad sunburns. Red, you do as well. But you're alive. In the immediate aftermath, you explain first to Mr. Walker, the ice cream man, and then to Red, in the immediate aftermath of coming to your senses after you threw up from the blast of radiation that hit you, the King in Yellow was gone. Now, Robert Walker, knowing his business as an ice cream man, was on his way to this very site, just in case you or any of his other contacts needed any items of particular note, and found Adrian, you, and Richter basically, like, sprawled out half-conscious, and Red just fully out. Luckily, you two came to a bit faster, and together you were able to drag Red into the back of the ice cream truck before Donnie Splinter's cops found you. Where the King in Yellow stood, there's blood, shreds of people. You find there was a scrap of the ingenue's dress, but otherwise a long, almost slug-like trail leading to an empty sewer grate. It would seem that as you recovered, the creature escaped. The King in Yellow is now loose on Helmfirth, and the three of you are recovering in Robert Walker's ice cream truck. Richter and Adrian, you can both go ahead and roll me con checks, please, to see if you are able to stay conscious enough to observe anything else about the creature's escape.
It's a success for Adrian.
Yep. Fail for Richter.
Ryan, what do you think Adrian would... I think I know what Ryan would want to know, but what do you think Adrian would pay attention to? Again, in this, like... If it was a movie, they'd have one of those filters on where everything kind of, like, clicks back into frame constantly. Like, you were dazed both from the concussive blast of the gun exploding, but also the wave of radiation that came off of it. Or do you think you would have just been fixated on whether or not Red was dead?
He saw Red fight out, so I don't think he would assume she wasn't that hurt.
I mostly mean because this is in the seconds after the bomb went off. So
yeah, I think he'd probably just note, like, how big is it? Is it moving good? Like, it would just be a question of, like, how injured is the animal that ran away? I think that's all he could.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So it looked very badly injured. Again, it's a hardy creature, and it seemed like it was really kind of intent on murder until it took, like, massive damage. But the fact that it didn't stay to fight would indicate that it is badly wounded. So though it is loose on the town, it might be hiding for a bit. If you were to take the animal metaphor to its sort of logical extreme, this isn't a thing that could, like, go raise hell right now. Also, probably, I mean, I don't think Adrian would necessarily clock this, but this thing was set up by Thomas to, like, have a prime hunting ground and to basically cause, like, you can almost think of it as a bomb, right? Like, he tried to set up the most possible murder in the smallest amount of space. So it's not like this thing is like fucking Godzilla or Venom just out there running, like whipping tentacles at people being like, I can fight in broad daylight. It is likely in the same way your plans were stymied, its plans were also completely flipped and upended. And also Michael Thomas seemed to be somewhat controlling it. So now that it no longer has a handler, it might be more dangerous, but there might not be an agenda. So those are the things you kind of have before you kind of drifted out of consciousness. But you all find yourselves very lucky to be alive. So lucky, in fact, that all of you are going to lose 6 points of luck.
Oof. What happens if you don't have 6 points of luck?
I echo this question.
then you get to do that thing where you just kind of draw a thin line with your mouths and like nod knowingly at Claire as though you also understand what she's just lost, even though clearly you have lost nothing. So if you don't have luck to burn, fine.
I'm going to take myself down to zero.
Yes. Yeah. Take yourself to zero, but there's no minus thing. Cool. Realistically, the two of you were conscious when this happened, whereas Red was on death's door. So like,
that seems very forgiving for this game.
Tom has abandoned this game to make this happen.
You're
dead. Tyler and I probably dead.
Look, no, I didn't take a full walk around my apartment to come back with a rules ruling.
Okay.
although I did, I would argue, come back with a highly appropriate Cthulhu ruling, which is Cthulhu isn't about killing the monsters. Cthulhu is about surviving the monsters. And you did, but .. So
and there's the tagline. You survived the monsters, but .. Every right. episode.
Yeah. So Bobby Walkie goes, and once he realizes that Red is awake, he kind of goes and gets back in the front of the car and turns on the tinkling ice cream song of Arms Wide Open by Creed. And look, he's got an ice cream truck full of guns. He actually doesn't want anyone coming to the ice cream truck. And if you blast Creed loud enough, no one comes to the truck. So he continues to kind of drive a little bit out of town, probably just far enough away that you're not in the center of downtown anymore. And the three of you finally have a moment to catch your breath and to catch up with each other. Y'all look like shit.
I was going to say, like I've just had something like ripped out of my throat. Can I talk right now? Like how conscious and...
The good news, based, Claire, on how you described it of like octopus with olive oil is your throat is certainly sore. And I think you have that kind of, again, because it was trying to lay eggs in your stomach, like you kind of have that kind of awful, like having choked feeling a bit. But the good news is because of the way you described it, I think ultimately like, you can talk, it hurts, but like you're not that fucked up. Also, like I feel like, I mean, I mentioned Sarah Connor, and obviously I'm riffing on Alien for The King in Yellow, so there's definitely like an Ellen Ripley vibe in this as well. I also think that for Red, and you've displayed this a few times now, like rage tends to outweigh personal discomfort. So it hurts, but also I don't think there's any fucking way you're not talking. Plus the good news with being on an ice cream truck is there's a lot of soothing things in here. Yay. So like, I feel like you've probably been fed some ice and some other things.
And you're holding so many guns. It's just a full bed full of guns with you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have a gun in one hand, like a popsicle in the other.
Yeah, yeah. You're just like a fucking Jared Leto Joker in that one scene in Suicide Squad where he's just got a hyper elaborate gun display around him. Like, you're just in your happy place.
Suddenly I have a tattoo that says Red across my forehead.
I mean, after that last fight, it could say damaged.
Yeah.
So many Oscars coming your way for this role. Like, it's unbelievable how many Oscars. You're going to be in every Batman movie from now to the end of time.
I'm going to be the best Red. Everyone likes me the best. Okay. okay. We have to go back and kill that son of a bitch.
Mr. Walkie, can I talk to you up front for a second?
Yeah, okay, Adrian, just I'm driving, so
We are having a town meeting right now, just, Adrian.
Adrian's going to go up to the front of the ice cream truck and be like, do you have handcuffs?
No, afraid I don't there, champ. It's one of the problems with being an ice cream man / ice cream man is lots of guns, lots of bullets, not so much with the handcuffs there, champ.
Do you have manacles?
You know, I like where your head's at there, kid, but unfortunately, no. Also, no manacles to be had.
Do you have rope?
You know, rope would have been a good idea. That is logically something I could have. In fact, I do not. I have some ice cream and I have some guns. Would you like one of those two things?
No, I'm good for now. And he'll just go back and I would say sit on Red's legs so she can't move.
Okay, she's like real fucked up. But yeah, that makes Adrian Diesel logic.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Greetings, I'm Bernard.
And I'm Magenta. You might know us from such hit podcasts as Madame Magenta, Sonus Mystica.
Horror Anthology Magenta Presents.
Or Season 3 of Mockery Manor.
We're everywhere.
And we're spreading faster than an STD in an old folks' home, because now we have a brand new podcast. Wham!
Wham! It's a fun acronym that stands for We Have a Movie.
Oh, it's not just an acronym, Bernard.
It's not?
It's a chat podcast where we invent smash hit Hollywood movies based on popular toys.
If you like the Barbie movie and you want to see similar treatments of your favorite childhood toys, I'll wager you'll like Wham! With episodes on Polly Pocket, Rubik's Cube, Game Boy, Strawberry Shortcake,
Furby, Connect Four, and lots of other nostalgia bait. But it's not just for adults who still like toys. It's a podcast for anyone who loves Hollywood tropes and comedy.
And quantum mechanics.
And BDSM.
Wham! Has something for everyone, but is still specifically about movies.
That's Wham! W-H-A-M. You know, like when Batman punches someone.
Yes.
Adam West. That Batman.
Exactly.
Not the Christopher Nolan one.
No.
Download it anywhere you listen to podcasts. That's what the world needs, another movie podcast.
Was that clear? Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned quantum mechanics.
Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now, and more than 60 others, can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Civilized and Realms of Peril and Glory. Fable and Folly Plus. Sign up today at fableandfolly.com/plus.
From the front, you just as you walk away, you see Robert take out like a small notepad and write down, like, you can see there's a shopping list and there's like apples and a few other things, and he just writes rope and underlines it twice. Having not seen Boondock Saints, he does not have this cultural reference just at hand. So, like, legitimately, this is a revelation for him.
Shopping for rope.
Get Mr. rope. Walker, please take us back to the theater.
Yeah, you're not in charge anymore, so I think you should just go to sleep.
I beg your pardon?
Well, you almost died again, with no plan, like last time, what you promised not to do anymore. So now, I'm in charge.
And what exactly is your plan, Adrian Diesel?
You're gonna go to the hospital, and we're gonna stay there for about 3 weeks.
No, we are not. That thing is going to get away. Do you understand? That thing is going to turn everything. That it might come after us. We have to go on the. offensive.
Oh yeah, what offensive are you going to go on? You can't even stand up.
She's gonna like. Damn it!
Red's one weakness. Someone sitting on her legs.
I was going to say, Red's one weakness. Weakness.
Yeah. Right. Richter, you're observing all of this. Do you intercede at all, or do you just kind of let this happen?
No, I mean, this is between them. Nobody has more influence over Adrian than Red, so there's no point barking up that tree for Richter. I think he's probably really thinking about Lord Hatzer. And just going through a mental Rolodex of Okay, where have I read that name before? What do I know about Lord Hatzer? What can I?
And I'm sorry, I misspoke in the heat of battle. It's Hastur, H-A-S-T-U-R.
Sorry, I might have actually.
No, dude, I 100% said it wrong because you know, it's one of those weird little improv-y moments where this is a little peek behind the curtain where my brain literally went, oh fuck, what's the pronunciation? Oh shit, you didn't write it down anywhere nearby. It's in one of these book pages, but you flipped to find a fucking ray gun. I'll just say anything. And then I looked up after, like, oh, thank God. And I looked up Lord on break. I was like, soup. Shit. So Lord Hamster, also close. Closer than mine. Okay, so with that in mind then, Richter, can you please roll me a... let's go with an occult check, because this isn't... You're checking this against your knowledge prior to all of these events, not against, like...
The things I've learned.
Yeah.
34 will give us a hard success.
Nice.
So now that you've got a bit of critical distance from the yellow sign and from kind of the allure of it, you recognize Hastur as a figure you haven't actually seen directly named, but based on the rest of the evidence, you can kind of piece together as the one who shall not be named. Very unfortunately,
way
has
to go.
Been named.
Somebody
fucked
somebody
up.
Spilled the beans.
I mean, you had just driven a car into him and then blew it up. But definitely syncs up with kind of the old ones, the great old ones. Now, the King in Yellow obviously was not Hastur himself, but you've definitely read about the idea of avatars of these ancient beings being summoned or set loose. So that would seem to be what you encountered.
Okay.
So like a servant of or an aspect of
that's kind of what I was curious about. Not so much as... what's Hastur about, but if this person is saying my Lord Hastur, like who serves Hastur? What is Hastur the deity of, or what does Hastur hold dominion over, to give us a better idea of what we're up against in terms of like the forces of Hastur?
I think for that you would need to look some shit up. I don't think you have that at hand. That said, can you please roll me an education check?
Yeah.
Or a history check. Whichever you prefer.
Edu is pretty high. Let's see history really quick. Education beats it by 5. So let's do education. And that'll be a success. Just regular success.
Regular success. Okay. So as Adrian and Red continue to basically have a power struggle, you kind of disappear into your mind to kind of think about this. So basically, I'm going to intercut what that role gets you with what they're doing, just so it isn't like. And now for like a brief info dump to break up this highly dramatic scene. Something doesn't sit right with you about the idea of Hastur being involved, largely because the Reverend Michael Thomas is involved. And that seems to kind of like those two pieces don't fit. And we'll talk about why in a moment. Meanwhile, Red, you're facing your greatest weakness. Adrian is correct in as much as you are very wounded and your desire to kill is very high. That said, I think how... We talked like a long time ago about the fact that at like post orphanage, I think the assumption of being like a rum runner who doesn't work for Capone, you kind of have to assume at some point you will die. Like it's not, I don't think people retire from that. And I think you'd kind of made peace with that. But now that like, you know, there's perhaps a chance to save Benny. Perhaps there's a chance to save Tracy. Like there's a bunch of weird new shit in the mix. Where's Red at around kind of mortality at this point? I mainly ask because Adrian is raising a very valid point that, like, you've almost died several times now. And you've basically gone from, like, never almost dying, like, tight scrape, but, like, we got away, to, like, death's door. So I'm kind of curious where Red would be at with this before we continue the argument with Adrian, because I think that'll inform what happens there.
I think where she's at is death is fine. Mm-hmm. However, if they don't, like, fix what's going on in this town right now and she dies, it's gonna come after Adrian.
Mm, okay.
That is where her brain is. So like she can die, but not until she gets rid of the threats that are gonna actively come after him.
I see. Gotcha. Okay, great. So how do you respond then to Adrian's I know it like frustrates Red, but it is like a legitimately enduring desire to make sure she's okay. As I mean, the two of you only fairly recently discovered that both of your driving motivations are to protect the other one. Like, this was new information for both characters not that long ago. So how do you respond?
Adrian, if we do not take care of this now, I don't want to think about how powerful these things are going to grow. And everything is happening very quickly.
Yeah, you keep dying real close to when you almost die. So what's your plan, Miss Can't Stand Up Tentacle in Face?
Adrian.
You said you'd have a plan and then you didn't have a plan. So if you have a plan, I'll consider it because I'm in charge.
She kind of like nods her head at that, being like, sure, buddy. I want to go back to the original plan of beating the shit out of the mayor and getting some answers.
Like, right now?
Yes.
But when we were all okay, we tried that. It went very badly.
Well, we're just gonna have to try another way.
Okay, so with this in mind, Red, given that you're at zero HP, you will need some amount of time to recover. That said, like, taking a few hours to rest up would likely get you back to, like, I'll give you like a D4. So it is possible to take a run at the mayor now. I being fully aware that like Red is being stubborn and that this isn't necessarily like we must do. I guess my main question though is, and this is for the entire party to consider, if you need to lay low for a little bit, Bobby Walkie unfortunately can't.
Yeah.
Like, he's got to drive you somewhere because, as we've established, unfortunately the mob is also aware of what ice cream men do. And given that the mob now runs the police force in Helmfirth, he's not particularly immune from anything. So he has to drop you off somewhere.
Yeah.
If you did need to lay low, you'll need to figure out where that would be. Obviously now the antique shop is like highly protected, which is new. You do still have the diesel estate. That is kind of another safe house. But anyway, something to consider.
Yeah, my vote would definitely be for the occult shop, because maybe we can suit up and get some magic shit that Red doesn't understand, but that'll help us fight these things.
And Ryan, of course, Adrian is being very firm in his beliefs and his doctrines. I'm kind of asking these meta questions just so I can get a sense of what I need to start thinking about. But I also don't think he would just drop this for narrative sake. So.
Oh, no.
Where would Addy want to go? Where's safe for him right now? It may also just be the shop. Like, that's
the shop had the magic wall, so I think that he'd buy that. Also, I think he'd believe that there might be handcuffs there, and he's very into this idea of handcuffs.
Okay, fair enough. All right. So, is that the direction you give to Robert?
I think he'd say yeah to go to Richter's.
We'll go to Richter's. But here's the deal, Red. What you just told me, because I learned from you, I said, what's the plan? And you gave me a goal. And that's different than a plan. You said we beat up the mayor. And that's what happens at the end of a plan. But what's the plan to get us there? Because what I've learned your plans are is run towards the dangerous thing until it shoots or stabs or tentacles you. And then you almost die. And then I almost die trying to save you. And then Grandpa Richard does things to my left that I don't entirely understand.
The one who will not be named.
Dum Dums and Dice would like to welcome you to Curse, Code, and Crown, a live play Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition podcast featuring a fully original world and campaign. Curse, Code, and Crown features our regular voiceover artists and improvisers, Laura Elizabeth as Princess Gwendolyn, Tyler Hewitt as Maka Deathcap, and Ryan LaPlante as Duncan Kindano, alongside our Dungeon Master, the incredible Tom McGee. So get ready for an adventure, including thrills, chills, and hope for a brighter tomorrow. It's time for Curse, Code, and Crown! Episodes are available now!
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks,
Tyler.
I was on the tip of my tongue, and I couldn't in the moment for the life of me remember where I have heard that name before. Hastur is the one who will not be named. Kind of an oxymoron, a little, yeah? But I would very much like to go to my shop to look over some selected works and texts to gather a little more information on this cabal of characters that may or may not be working in service of Hastur.
What if we call him Pee-Pee?
Well, we're not going to do that.
But then the hamster will have a name.
His name is Hastur.
But you said he was not be named.
Yeah.
So we could name him Pee-Pee.
You can call him Pee-Pee if you like. I pray to all the known and unknown gods that we never meet Pee-Pee. I hope with all of my heart, Addy, that monster we faced this evening was a servant to Pee-Pee, a slave to Pee-Pee. I wish no one to ever meet Pee-Pee face to face. And you may call Hastur whatever you wish to call him, because
Pee-Pee.
You settled on Pee-Pee. Because in the events that we are face to face with him, we will likely go mad or be obliterated.
Which is why we need to extract information about the mayor about when they are planning this whole ritual for whatever purpose it is.
So what's your plan to get to that goal?
I need to just think about it, Adrian.
But that's always what you say, and then you run in somewhere and get shot, stabbed, or tentacled.
Fine. Let's go to your shop. Damn it.
And with that, you go to the shop. So you roll up to Helmforth Curiosities, and Robert kind of has to unfortunately kind of quickly dump you. He's already kind of exposed himself a bit too much. So he peels out. Forgive me, did you leave the father at your shop, or did you leave him elsewhere?
The father? Let me look at
the priest that we picked up.
Yeah.
Oh, God. No, we dropped him off somewhere.
Yeah, I think he was doing his own thing. So we may have dropped him at the shop, but I doubt he just said
Yeah. Great. That's totally fine. He's off doing his thing. That makes more sense. So with no small sense of relief, you make your way inside the shop and trigger the defenses, which is, you know, nice. It's kind of a nice after all of that, Very nice to have something that is also in a way ethereal to protect you. You're able to take a bit of a breather. Obviously from what you've described, the plan is still to go after Montgomery Greaves probably as soon as possible. However, Adrian's condition for letting this happen is if there is a plan. If there's a plan, then we're good to go. The question, I guess, for you, Red, is A, what your contribution to the plan is. I think the plan is something all three of you will put together. But B, how long you want to rest.
I feel like Adrian would be like, quietly go over to like Grandpa Richard. Because, I mean, Red can't really walk around much. She's a fucking train wreck. Just be like, so do you have handcuffs?
No. Andy, I do not have handcuffs, no.
Okay, do you have manacles?
No, Andy, those are handcuffs, are they not?
They're older. Do you have rope?
No, Andy, I do not have rope either. This is largely a bookstore and some other assorted trinkets and artifacts.
But you had that mirror that made everyone go crazy.
That is true, yeah.
So can you get me handcuffs?
No, I don't think I can.
Red has like pulled a flask from her shirt and is just like drinking in the corner.
Yeah, there's like a hole in it from one of the tentacles attacked, and it's just like It's up near the top, so it's not really fucking with your booze, but it's just like another fucking insult to injury.
Yeah.
What do you need all of these binding instruments for, Andy?
I only need one. Here's the deal, Grandpa. If I can get handcuffs and keys, I can cuff myself to Red and then put the key in and break it so Red can't go off and kill herself like she keeps trying to do, because I'm starting to think that I'm the smart one.
Well, Addy, you can rest easy knowing that handcuffing yourself to someone permanently is not smart. So,
okay, do you have an iron lung?
Addy, how do you know what an iron lung is?
It was in a movie I saw at the drive-in.
Oh, the drive-in, you say? How novel. Well, no, Addy, I do not have an iron lung at the shop. I'm scared to ask, but what do you need an iron lung for, Addy?
Well, if I put Red in it, then she couldn't get out until she got better. Do you have a large cage?
No, Addy, I'm afraid I do
like not. Like a bird cage for a very big bird.
I do have a bird cage, but it's for a regular sized bird.
Is there a zoo here that I could purchase?
And I would have to ask Tom now, is there a Helmfirth Zoo?
No, it's more of a traveling fair kind of joint.
Right, okay.
You just get mopey zoo lions who show up in like weird, sad cages and hang out for a couple of days and are like, oh, and then they move on to the next town.
Addy, there is no zoo in Helmfirth.
Okay, here's the problem. Red is going to die because Red is stupid. I need a way to trap Red until Red will not die. What do I do? You're smart.
I find that in situations like this, lateral sinking...
What?
Lateral sinking, Addy.
We don't have a ladder. Do you have a ladder?
I do not have a ladder, Addy. You say the problem is that Red is stupid.
And going to die because she is very injured and determined to fight everything.
Yeah, but the dying is coming from the stupidity, yeah?
Yeah.
So why not make Red smart? That way she does not have to be trapped. She can be smart and protect herself. and accept your protection better.
Can I interject for a hot second here? Tyler, do you say that loud enough? Does Old Man Richter say that loud enough that Red can hear him? Like, are you trying to get her in on this, or are you just having a private conversation?
Richter is not speaking in like hushed tones or anything like that. He's speaking in like an indoor voice.
Great. So
because like, this is a social cue that, like, again, like, also, like, as much as he likes these two, like, this is a borderline trivial problem compared to
fully
stuff
understood.
That's rattling
Great.
Around
Thank his you.
Head.
Okay. So Red, as you're sipping your booze, you hear all this, but I think it's one of those like sad scenes where like, you know, Wolverine has to hear the rest of the X-Men talk about like how much they just wish he'd hang out with them more. And he's like, I guess I'll
push people away.
Yeah, anyway. I'll put off hunting Sabretooth for another day.
Yeah, I mean, I think like as much as she wants to just run out the door and fisticuffs this thing, like she is not stupid, and she knows that Adrian, like, she can't overpower him. Like, it's just not gonna happen. She also needs him to help fight, so
for sure. And
to
your point earlier, though, I think there is also something to the idea of like Red has only recently clocked into the fact that like Adrian's seemingly only reason for living is to protect you, whereas mm-hmm. before I think it was kind of like no, I gotta protect him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that does change things a bit on this, mm-hmm. where it's like, yeah, he's being stubborn and he's doing all this, but like, it is a bit of a catch-22 because previously it's like, well, if I die shooting a demon in the head, that's fucking fine because I shot the demon in the head. But now realizing that that would also hurt him perhaps more than getting killed by a demon is anyway. Ryan, I cut you off. I just wanted to sort of make sure we had that additional context. So yeah, you're having a sad Wolverine sip. And Ryan, how do you respond?
I am flattered that you would think that I am someone who could teach other people. I am only smart compared to Red. Compared to everyone else,
oh my God.
I am stupid.
Well, Addy, an interesting thing has occurred here. I think we have found perhaps a hidden or previously unknown skill that you have, Addy. And I think you could share that skill with Red, because I think that is something that is special about only you. And that is, you are extremely well equipped to fight and survive these extremely unusual enemies that we have been faced with, these otherworldly adversaries. Addy, you have survived an encounter with a cult. You fought a giant beast inside of a mental temple with me. You have seen things that Red has not seen, or that Red is not ready to believe exist. Now, tonight, we'll likely push Red further into madness and the realization that there are things out there that do not make sense. But you have been exposed to these things and you have adapted quite well, young man. I must say, you are extremely able-bodied and you have developed quite a knack for dealing with these otherworldly beings. And I think that is something that you can share with Red and teach her how to cope, how to fight the way you fight, how to not die, as you say. Hmm? What do you think of that, my boy?
But she is small, so if I teach her to run up and punch, I think she'll die faster than if she stands at the back and shoots her guns.
Well, she has not been standing at the back and shooting her guns, or now has she? So you've already got a good idea there for her, Addy. Look at that. You surprise even yourself.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you for that enlightening conversation about my particular skills and weaknesses. I appreciate hearing it.
You're welcome.
Addy?
Yes?
As much as I despise insubordination by anybody who works for me, I do take your point in that perhaps I have been hasty. And she's like, she's not happy to say that word. So let's all sit down, have a goddamn drink, and figure out exactly what we're going to do next. And I promise I will not try to run out the door. Even if I could, I will not, until we all agree on a plan. Does that sound acceptable to you both?
So you promise that you won't leave until I agree to the plan.
Because you're not going to let me leave. That is what I am promising.
Okay.
This episode of the Mythos Mysteries features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Claire Blackwood at Claire Blackwood on Twitter, and Keeper Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode's sound was edited and mixed by Laura Hamstra. And the Mythos Mysteries show logo was created by Decapitated Marker at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are Dark Alleys and Sentinel by Kai Engel. And our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, JAHZZAR. And all of their music is available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are dumdumdice. And on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We have merchandise available at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. All hail the mythos.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, the Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lord of Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Chet Awesome Laser, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, Taryn Hefner, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Modes of thought in Antaran literature. Second year classics. Harvard University.
7 years ago, a Chinese military sub accidentally went down in the Pacific Ocean. Turns out, the sub fell smack in front of a gigantic three-sided pyramid in the ruins of what we now call Dark City.
This Antaran lit class seems like there's a lot of debate about it.
Legally, I cannot stop you from teaching this class, but I strongly advise that
what?
You know what? If you want to tank your reputation, that's on you.
You don't believe a word I say about Antara, right?
You're right. I do not believe Antara exists.
I need to know. Is it real? You came all the way to China to find out?
Okay, everyone, get out right now. Now, Raquel, what the hell are you doing?
I'm gonna cut my hand, and you're all gonna feel it.
Ow!
See? I told you.
Modes of thought in Antaran literature, an audio drama produced by Wolf of the Door Studios. For more information, please visit WLFDR.com.